Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Near the end of World War II, Army Air Corps Lieutenant Lauren Hintz was based in Italy when his plane was shot down. He was considered missing in action until parts of the wreckage were found a while later, and he was declared to have been killed. But the crash site was never found before this year.
Milwaukee writer Martin Hintz was not yet born when his father died. This summer, a team of people helped him uncover his father's crash site in Italy. Hintz joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio to talk about the long search for where his father died.
My dad was a prolific writer, and he wrote books of poetry, and he even knew Carl Sandburg, kind of an interesting young man from the 1930s. And after he died, of course, they sent home in a trunk my dad's personal effects, his dress uniform and different things. So my mom had that up in the attic. And as a kid, I'd sometimes go upstairs and kind of open the sacred trunk and look in and kind of hold his caps and some other things and thumb through his writings. He had a lot of letters and, of course, his books of poetry and little things from his growing up years. So it was as if I kind of knew him. I hadn't met him, but I knew him and finally had an opportunity to meet him this past summer, literally. It was kind of quite an emotional experience.
Before you started the excavation process and even the process of just finding that crash site in general, what did you know about the crash?
He took off April 21, 1945, several weeks before the war ended, and he was based at an Italian air base called Cesenatico. And there were records. The chaplain found a few things several months after the war. He was listed as missing in action for a time, because there was so much going on in that area as the war was ending. There was, you know, rubble and debris everywhere, and people were hungry and all that. And the first graves detail was able to find some remains of my dad and a few pieces of his airplane. But they were in a hurry to move on to the next place. Everybody probably wanted to get home. The war was over, and there was just so much they had to find. They had all these service people that were missing and all this. So those remains were transferred to the American Cemetery just near Florence. There's about 4,000 service people in there who died toward the end of the war, mostly fighting in northern Italy. And then that kind of was it. That was 71 years, and all the records kind of disappeared. And, well, we didn't know where they were. And about 10 or 12 years ago, my sister took my mom down to our local library in Iowa, where we grew up, and played around on the internet. You know, it's kind of all brand new way, way back then, to see some, see if they could find some reunion information about his 79th fighter group, because at that time there were a lot of the men and women of the service were trying to get together again. And my nephew Hans also got involved and was quite interested, and they threw out some emails, queries, and nothing, 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 nothing. And a few years ago, my nephew Hans was in Alaska. He's an engineer, and he was talking with a friend, and it turned out that they wound up talking about World War II, and this gentleman's father-in-law was in the 79th Fighter Group. Oh, so was my grandfather. Next thing you know, they're talking, and this gentleman, the elderly gentleman, knew my dad. So we were able to meet and talk with him. This was about 5 or 6 years after those first queries went out online. And he talked a lot about that era and my dad and things like that. And as all this was floating around, my sister and my nephew did get some messages from some Italians. Said, it's our mission. We're looking to repatriate, to find remains of American service personnel to thank them for their service. And that led to eventual discovery after searching for records, and we went to the National Archives and everywhere else to find information.
So this was an effort not only spurred by you and your family, but also by a group of Italians.
Yes, and we can't say enough for our friends, because now they are our friends overseas. And at first, you know, each side was kind of, well, who's looking for what? Like, is this real? And it certainly turned out to be, because Hans was able to go to Italy a few years ago and meet these people. They're all aviation buffs. They were flyers. And they took this as their cause. They kind of lived near Bologna. That's where it's near where the crash site was. So they were all people who aviation enthusiasts and parachutists, and they all just love the air. And they took this on as their cause. And for about 8 or 9 years, they crisscrossed that area trying to find the proper coordinates where my dad could have been shot down. And they were, as I mentioned, Cesenatico, the air base. They flew out. There's an Italian air base now. So they were able to track his flight path and crisscross, fine. And they never really had any exact specifics. And then working, because my nephew's an engineer, they were able to use some ground-penetrating radar. I'm not sure the exact scientific name for that. But they located a mass of metal in this one area, debris field, and that's where everybody started zeroing in on the search. And we were went over there this past July wondering if what's down underneath there. There was another group of Italians who specialize in archaeology and digging up planes, and they had already found a number of American and Allied flyers in different places that had been missing for 70-some years, and were able to get them back to their families in the States. And so they joined up with our other Italian friends, and so that's kind of how it all got going.
Of course, Italy is a country with roots that go way far back. We're looking at pretty recent history. So you were able to speak with people who had seen the crash or who had at least been there during World War II when all of these planes were overhead. You know, what did they say to you about their experiences?
Well, everybody had a story. That was toward the end of the war, and the German army was fleeing to the north to try to, you know, get out of the way, because since my father flew a P-47 fighter bomber, it was the biggest, a single seat, one man in the plane, and they were taking out railroads and anything that moved on the roads. There was no more Luftwaffe. The skies were clear, so our allies, their job was to clear the ground as these enemy troops were fleeing north. And folks in the area remember everybody on horses, horse-drawn carts, walking, motorcycles, bicycles, all trying to get north, and they were trying to trade their uniforms for civilian clothes. And one lady who's now in her 90s remembers just a few months before their barn was bombed and a cow got killed, but a group of German officers came into their kitchen and got all soused up as they were fleeing, and they spent one night there and then took off again. And so they commandeered their kitchen, these German officers, and just ready to hightail it. And they said toward the end of the war, there were mostly young conscripts, German conscripts there, 16, 17, 18, and elderly guys. And not a lot of the old battle-hardened veterans from the Russian front, because they all had moved on. So that was my dad's job, to help clear the remains of the German army out of that area.
So what happened with the crash itself?
Well, everything is conjecture, you know, who knows. But with these various eyewitnesses and people who kind of knew of the situation, he took off from Cesenatico like about 6:30 in the morning and arrived on. He was number 12 in a flight of 12 P-47s, and he was the last man. And by the time he came through, they were attacking a row of farmhouses, 300 to 500-year-old farmhouses. We're talking history here, and the walls are like 3 feet thick and everything. So there were some German gunners that their responsibility was to take out. And he was the last one to make a pass. And apparently the gunners had zeroed in on him by that time. And his flight mates didn't notice he was missing until they had circled around and had taken off, you know, headed back. And people in the neighborhood remember that a group of New Zealanders had come through, wireless operators, the night before, and told them there's going to be a big raid tomorrow, so be really careful, go hide. And they got them up like early in the morning and said, they're on their way. And this family, they hid in a drainage ditch behind their house. And he remembers the flight going over and a huge explosion. And I think it was one of their relatives' homes that they were attacking. So I tell you, this is, you know, personal stuff. And from a distance, like a quarter mile away, they could see something had gone down and a huge explosion. So that was one eyewitness to something. So either he was, my dad was either hit or, I don't know, the plane malfunctioned or whatever, but it was a huge explosion. And he was, they were only 800 feet off the ground, flying about 200 miles an hour. So he burrowed right into the ground, and that's why we had to do a dig.
So you were part of the actual excavation process, right?
Well, we observed, my family and I, my sister and my three kids, and my sister's two of her sons were able to come along too, because it was a pretty technical. These people had really skilled professionals, and even though they're amateur archaeologists, they knew what they were doing. As I said, they had found a number of other downed pilots, and it was also a safety factor too. We came out really early the morning of July 23, and the area was marked off where they wanted to dig, and they said, "We know he's down there. We know he's down there." And my sister and I looked at each other and said, "Wow, you know, how do you know?" And he said, "Well, we just have faith." And they went over the whole area with metal detectors. There were a couple of dozen of these people, and then they started digging. And within minutes, they started finding wreckage. And then down 20-some feet, they found the plane and his remains, his dog tags, his artifacts, flare guns, things like that. So,
how did you feel when they were pulling these things, you know, way deep out of the ground? I mean, did it feel cathartic? Was it emotional?
Well, quite emotional, yes. The Italians were so reverent and cautious. You know, they would put the debris in the shakers, like you've seen pictures of archaeologists working to shake down to find the most minute particles. And they found a lot of unexploded ordnance that they had to take care of. The Italian Army was there. The Italian Air Force was there. The Carabinieri, the police, several hundred people, onlookers were watching, and we were part of that. And when they started finding my dad's remains, they had a small tent set aside that the family could kind of go quiet time. And as they found remains, they were placed in a metal box, and it was kind of reserved for us. And noon of that day, the local parish priest came out and blessed everybody, all the workers and the people, and that was just really quite emotional. And following that, we were led over to an open space where a group of Italian parachutists presented an American flag to my sister. And they played Taps and the Star Spangled Banner, and everybody got quite sniffy, of course, you know, at that particular thing time. And it just went on from there. And there's more to the story as we get into it, too. And we were just so lucky to find him, and just remember all the other service personnel for all the wars. This is the week we remember, and today is the day we remember, Veterans Day. And my dad didn't have the opportunity to become a veteran, but it's to remember everybody who sacrificed, not just his story. It's our country's story.
Well, Martin Hintz, thank you so much for joining us here in studio, and thank you so much for your father's sacrifice.
Well, I really appreciate it, and my family thanks everybody who's interested in it. And once again, there were so many people helping, not just us, and so I want to be sure that they get their credit as well.
Martin Hintz is a local historian and writer who journeyed to Italy on a search for the site of his father's 1945 World War II plane crash. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can find more information at WUWM.com.
Coming up next, an appropriate bubbler talk for election week. That's when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.